and welcome to another episode of
Trash or Treasure,
the podcast where Kim
and Amy
bring you spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we read this week. Amy, what did we read?
We read Hercule Poirot's Christmas by Agatha Christie.
Aw, quaint.
And you'll be going, but hang on a minute, it's not Christmas yet.
True, but it was not particularly Christmassy.
No, I would not consider anything except the title and the time of year in which this book is set to be Christmas.
Yeah, it wouldn't. And it's also not Christmassy in vibe in terms of, like, it's not. So there are things that I want to watch or want to read around the Christmas season because they vibe Christmas for me.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not one of those.
No, in fact, I've tried to read it at Christmas time, I've been like, it's crushing my vibe.
No.
It's not the Christmas. It's not what I want.
It's the anti-Christmas. Yeah.
Yep.
Do you want
No, it's a mystery.
Oh, dear. Okay. All right. So I'll do it then. It's basically a house party.
Yes.
Sort of thing. So a whole bunch of people have come home, have been invited home for Christmas by the kind of
patriarch
of the family. The patriarch of the family is kind of grumpy and he has all sons. He had a daughter, but she's passed on. And pretty much all the sons dislike each other. So there's kind of the eldest son is still living at home with his wife, and they live at the ancestral home sort of to take care of dad. And
he's sort of an invalid, but not really.
Yeah, he's been an invalid for a while. He's been sickly for a while. And he is really mean to his eldest son, but the eldest son really dotes on him and cares about him, which really irritates the eldest son's wife. She's like, grow a set. I hate him, hate him, hate him. And so all the women in this are actually, like, all the wives are actually quite strong-willed and have quite a lot of spunk to them, but all the men are kind of wet blankets and a little bit just insipid and ineffective. Anyway, and so that's the eldest son. The next down is George, and he is a politician, but his father has supported him with quite an ample allowance for a really long time, and he has married a pretty vapid, much younger than him, platinum blonde, bimbo-y kind of person.
It's set sort of late 40s, 50s. Yeah.
She's not particularly dense at all. She's not a stupid character, and she's not portrayed that way, but it's in that era where if you cared about your appearance and were sufficiently attractive and female, then you couldn't also have brains. And the other son is Harry, who's been away. He's the prodigal son and has returned this Christmas. He's been away. He, like, fraudulently stole a bunch of money from his dad and then ran off and has pretty much been in and out of scrapes and in and out of prisons all over the world.
He's been a very naughty boy.
Very naughty. And has now returned home. He is the son who's, like, most like his dad in terms of being a bit kind of ruthless and arrogant and doesn't care about anyone else and blah, blah, blah. So that's kind of the home crew. The other person who's arrived, there are two other people who have arrived. One is the main patriarch's granddaughter. So she is the daughter of his only daughter. So his only daughter died a year ago and he tried to find the children from that marriage. And there was only, because she sort of married a Spaniard, moved to Spain. He was like furious that she'd married this guy, blah, blah,
I'm
blah.
Wrong. It's not 40s, 50s. It's actually set during the era of the Spanish Civil War.
It's the late
30s.
Yeah, it's during the Civil War. Oh, my goodness.
I'm really upset about that.
You have literally one job. Yeah, so she has travelled all the way from Spain through the Civil War to come to England for the first time to meet her grandfather. And her name is Pilar. And he really, really likes Pilar. They get on, like, house on fire because, again, she's not English, so she's quite outspoken and rah-de-rah-de-rah. Pilar, on the way over, met Stephen, someone whose last name I can't remember, but he is from South Africa, and his father worked with
the
Simeon
patriarch.
Lee, who is the patriarch guy, and many, many moons ago in South Africa when Simeon Lee, like, made his fortune in diamonds and things like that. And so basically, Simeon Lee invited all of his family back together.
There's four brothers.
Oh, there is two. There's three brothers.
Yeah, David, that's right. The arty one.
Yep, David was like super artistic and he married a very sturdy, practical woman. But David Lee was very much like he was the closest to his mum. And so Simeon Lee cheated on his wife and treated her really badly because she was quite a sensitive person and he looked down on that as weakness. And so he was a mean person to his wife. And David Lee never forgave his father. So after their mother's death, David Lee left home and hasn't been home ever since.
Until the summons for Christmas.
Exactly. And his wife convinced him to go home because she was like, he's an old man. Maybe he just wants to make amends. Maybe you need to let go of the past. Sorry. So that's all the family. Then Pilar comes, then Stephen from South Africa comes and Simeon's like, oh, so good to have everyone around. And mostly he admits he's doing it to cause trouble and to stir up a bit of, you know.
He's writing his will.
Yes. Yeah. And kind of does those, that kind of, yeah, that kind of vibe. Anyway, and so obviously someone dies. And so Hercule Poirot is visiting the police commissioner, just
he's in the neighborhood.
Happens to be visiting him as a friend. And Simeon Lee is murdered. And he is murdered in a room. Everyone's in the house, obviously.
It's a locked room mystery.
So there's no way anyone could have got in or out. And the door's locked from the outside. And Simeon Lee is super dead. Lots of blood. Whole mess. The end. So basically that's it. Then it's just about.
That's a good summary. Lots of family.
Lots of family in the house. Everyone
bloody
has a
murder,
motive. Right before he was killed, Simeon Lee was like, someone has stolen my diamonds, and was also saying that he hated everyone. They were all a disappointment and made sure that they all overheard him calling his solicitor to say, after the Christmas break, I need you to come and visit because I need to rewrite my will.
Yeah.
And then he's dead. So all of that was kind of set up. Everyone has a motive. And that's it. Agatha Christie. That's the setup for this one. The end.
How did they get into the room?
Oh.
How did they leave it locked?
Et cetera, et cetera.
Can we trust everyone?
So,
or
Amy.
Anyone?
Oh. So, Amy. What did you think of Hercule Poirot Christmas?
As a mystery, I really like the mystery in this book.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I expect that you puzzled it out from, like, the get-go. But
it wasn't the ending I thought it was going to be.
Okay.
I had come up with a different ending. Like, I kind of came to the same conclusion Poirot did, but coming to that conclusion, I posited a different
right. Well, I had
answer to the problem,
I had no ideas when you get to the answer. I was like, oh.
No. Even one his answer, I was like, oh, that's a bit far-fetched, but fair enough. I think mine was a bit more practical, but I was like, okay.
So I like the puzzle it presents, and I do enjoy, like, I enjoy a, you know, good Agatha Christie, like, who did it when it almost seems impossible to work it out because there's some of them where there's like a clear suspect and in this there isn't really a clear suspect.
Mm-hmm.
I am not Poirot's. I think this is the first Poirot we've talked about, actually.
I think so too, yeah.
Poirot I find a bit irritating. Like, I think Agatha Christie found Poirot irritating as well because he always knows the answer. And sometimes that's a bit annoying.
And he seems to know the answer or pretends to know the answer from
like
2 seconds in, and then he spends the entire book
says
being
hello to one more person, and then he spends the whole time waiting for the right moment to do his, like, let's all sit around the dining room table, denouement.
Right.
In the meantime, another person has died. My main.
Yeah, that's always my favourite in Poirot.
Come on, Poirot.
You're like, if you knew, if you even suspected, can we please move this along quicker than.
So more people don't die? He doesn't come with Hastings, his friend who often does a first-person narration, which is a blessing because I don't like being in Hastings' head.
No.
He's too Watson. But there's slightly too many characters for me to. It's just sometimes hard in this novel keeping track of who everyone is and all their motives because there are like four brothers.
Yeah.
And all of the wives and then that you're with all their little domestic dramas for mm-hmm. such a long time mm. that I sort of was like, oh, wish that she'd just had like two brothers or something and then had sure. the other two. So having Pilar and Stephen there, I was very grateful for moments that we spent with them because yeah. it gave me a break from all the Lee drama. Mm-hmm. I didn't really like Pilar. She was quite annoying.
Yeah, I found her irritating.
And I wasn't sure if I brash, was allowed
brash, but weirdly to... childish.
Yes, that mm. was the weird grown up but not grown up at times. Mm. And I felt like I wasn't able to trust anyone. I knew that the moment I started to trust Stephen, who I wanted to trust,
yeah.
I would, oh, the carpet would be pulled out from underneath me yeah. or whatever the metaphor is. But I do find it one of her more interesting ones and yeah, one that okay. I remember. The murder's really, really interesting
mm.
and the plotting of that. And I've read it a couple times.
Yeah.
Like a few times I've picked it up at Christmas and then gone, you know, I'll just wait till like the new year. It's a great book to be given at Christmas and then read after the new year.
Okay, fair enough. So it's a good when gift you're like, book.
Yeah, I don't need to, I'm finished with Christmas now. Oh. Let's do something else. So I have reread it. And in that sense, I would recommend it. I've never listened to any audiobook for it though. So I don't know how it plays when you listen to it. And sure. I have a feeling it probably plays as a lot of irritating domestic bickering rather than solving.
Well, I listened to the audiobook because
that's how
I was crafting.
I know, but.
So I can answer that question.
Yes, and I'm setting it up for you to answer it. So my summary is I do like it. Mm. I would recommend it, but I find a lot of the characters irritating. I'd recommend it for the mystery itself, which sure. I find I wanted to puzzle out and I found engaging enough to push through all the lead drama. I liked the ladies.
Yeah, like I said, they were more interesting.
They were
men,
more interesting.
Sure.
Like if it was just the sons, oh, my God, I'd have pushed them off a cliff. But the dynamic with the like daughters-in-law was made it a bit more interesting. Okay, audiobook lady, what were your thoughts?
So I didn't mind the audiobook. It mm-hmm. was fine. I can't remember who performed it. Mm-hmm. I can look that up
I'll
for
look
it,
no,
you.
No, okay. You keep talking and I'll look it up.
I just downloaded the one, I think, from the library, but I listened
Hugh
to
Fraser.
It.
Hugh Fraser. He narrates a lot of.
Well, there you go. But I listened to it via the library. The performance for the audiobook was good. I listened to it a bit quicker. It's one of those ones that's a little bit slow for me, so I did fast forward it a little, like as in
1.2 speed.
Yep. I probably would not recommend this book for a couple of reasons. Same things you've said, as in Poirot can be annoying and is a little bit in this one, but I found him far less annoying than the cast of characters who were with him. Like the Lee family yes. are super irritating.
Yeah, yeah. Poirot was nice to
Yeah, he was actually I found him a nice break. It doesn't happen over a very long period of time. And I found it quite a short book to get through.
It is short. It's a quick book, but it has a lot of Lees in it.
Yes. So I didn't find that his dithering of being like, I know what's happening here, but I'm not going to tell anyone, that didn't go for too long for me in this book. So I thought that was okay. He was obviously just collecting evidence and whatever. I thought the mystery was overly complex and the answer to it slightly difficult to believe, which I can't go into any more detail without.
I know what you mean.
Without, you know, making it spoilers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if you have read it, then you'll know what I mean. And if you do read it, I found
it's
parts
a bit Shakespearean,
of
isn't
how,
it?
And how, but the logistics of how the crime was committed, I was like, I think like there was a very high chance that none of that would have worked. Like there was, it was a whole bunch of like.
Things
no, you
just got to read them like you're watching a James Bond film.
Yeah, it was definitely not a sure thing. And if I was going to plan a murder to try and get away with and had a long time to plan it, I most certainly would not have executed this murder in the way the murderer did in this book. So I found that a little bit hard to swallow, but that's fine. And I guess the other problem that I had with it was because it was so short and the cast of Lees was so many, I wasn't satisfied with the
character development.
Everyone was too shallow. Mm. So no, you can't trust anyone, which is a problem in these kind of house dramas where we know it's someone in the house who did it. You can't trust anybody because it could be everybody. And so that's problematic. And normally it's kind of shady as in, or part of the way the author does it, regardless if it's Christy or someone else doing the same kind of thing, is everybody has a secret. So once you start investigating what's going on with people because something's happened, like a murder or a robbery or whatever, you start uncovering everybody's secret. Everyone's alibi has a hole in it because everyone doesn't want to tell the truth because they're trying to hide their real truth, blah, blah, blah. When those were uncovered, as those were uncovered, they were lame. I didn't think they were interesting. The drama that was hidden beneath the surface for all the leads was actually pretty
I don't remember, pedestrian. Like, stepping back from it, the only under-the-surface ones I remember aren't really the leads.
Yeah, that's right, because theirs weren't particularly interesting.
No, they were predictable.
And their inter-family drama isn't really inter-family drama. Like, it was much more their reasons for not being able to tell the truth about where they were when Simeon was murdered is much more, oh, it'd be embarrassing. Mm. Oh, I'd be a little embarrassed. Not like I was having an affair with my brother's wife. Like, there was nothing kind of earth-shattering or particularly interesting in any of it. And so I didn't like any of the characters. I didn't like Simeon Lee, so I didn't particularly care that he died. I didn't like Pilar. I didn't like Stephen, really. So I had trouble finding someone.
You want that, and that, I think, is a big challenge in these mysteries, because that twist, or the whodunit, is often what's so important, is that you can't trust anyone.
Yes, and that's why Poirot's provided,
that you trust Poirot, but he's too annoying to want to cling to him.
Honestly, he was my favorite character in this book. And it's rare for me because I don't particularly like him. He's not usually the person that I like. But
it's why we've only really reviewed Marples and the non-Poirot ones so far.
Yeah, that's
on the podcast.
Exactly right. Anyway, so yeah, I thought the mystery wasn't plausible enough for me to be like, oh, well done, Christy. Great mystery. That was really cool, worth reading again for that purpose alone. I didn't like any of the characters, and there was nothing interesting enough going on. I didn't hate them all. Like, we read A House, what was it? The Georgette Heyer one.
Yeah, that's a bit similar to this.
Yeah.
A Christmas Party.
I vehemently disliked those characters, like actively hated them. Not even the case here. They were just all a bit boring and underdeveloped because it's so short. So I wouldn't recommend it. I didn't dislike it. I read it all the way to the end and it was fine and the ending was fine. And one of the things I did notice that was kind of helped me solidify how I felt about this book and why I didn't enjoy it that much. At the end, in his like big reveal that Hercule Poirot does, right? He gave all of these different options for how it could have happened. Well, it could have been you because you could have blah, blah, blah. And we can't trust you because
it's such a lie.
Maybe you two had this going, had been planning this for months. And maybe actually the animosity between you is faked because you've actually blah, 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 blah. Every example he gave was more interesting than the actual reason who did it, how they did it, and why they did it. I was like,
I just go with it. I'm like,
I was like, that is interesting. Oh, I didn't see that coming. That would be worth rereading to work out if I could pick that relationship earlier on. No. I was just like, okay. So I thought, Poirot, if you find Poirot irritating in every other book, he's not that irritating in this one.
No,
so if you're looking for one where he's okay, this is the one to read.
This one and the clocks, and there's a couple of them where he's not tolerable. As present.
Mm. But if you are just looking for like a really great mystery with some really good characters, that's a quick read.
Probably this not isn't this
it.
One.
So yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. I probably trash it, as in I wouldn't ever read it again.
I classify it as trash, but I'd read it again because I enjoy, you know me, I don't remember. Every time I read it, I'm like, that's right. Yeah.
But this made me want to immediately finish it, turn it off, and watch Knives Out.
Oh, right. Okay.
Because that's the same thing. It's a house
Chris
party.
Chris Watts' Chops' jumper.
Not really. Chris Evans is awesome in that movie. But the thing that leapt out at me in a comparison in this book particularly was as you uncover all the people's secrets, all of the secrets going on in the family in Knives Out, they're engaging and interesting within themselves. And it's the same kind of protagonist, same kind of patriarch in both stories, in that he likes kind of stirring the pot for his family, who he kind of feels leech off him, but he likes that control and power too. So it's kind of this weird dynamic.
So if they ever want to adapt this to be TV, they'll have to make everyone's secret a lot more interesting.
Well, no, you probably can't, because once you do that, it probably just becomes Knives Out. A more interesting version of this book is just Knives Out. So yeah, that's how I feel about it.
All right.
That's us done. Thank you once again for spending some of your time with us. Tune in again next week. We will bring you more spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we read. And until then,
happy reading!
And just a quick reminder here at the end of the podcast that we would love to hear from you. We want your recommendations, the good, the bad, the interesting, doesn't matter. Please reach out, send us an email at trashortreasurepodcast@outlook.com. Or we are also available at the world's most awkward Twitter handle, which Amy has to tell you about. Listen to our Twitter handle. It's the greatest.
It's @_treasure.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
And with those encouraging words, tweet or email us.
We love to hear from you. Happy reading.
Cheers.